Hello and welcome to Medi-Call episode 221. I'm Corey and here's Daryl.
Yo.
We've been doing this so long, it's hard to come up with a new intro every time you do it. And I think our cadence and our introductory yos are the, like, just becoming so similar. Like, you could probably layer 221 of those on top of each other and they'd probably match almost perfectly.
I think eventually I just tried to, like, stick with yo. Like, you know, everyone has a phrase or something they open their show or cast with. Like,
yeah.
Like, if you listen to Command Cast or the Command Zone podcast, like, Josh Lee Kwai is like, how's it? You know, everyone has a thing. I'm good with a nice low bellowing yo. That's good enough for me.
Yeah.
Yo. It's nice and deep. Give it a little length. You know.
Well, last week we talked about Modern Horizons 2, and we didn't get to the end of the spoilers, or the previews, I should say.
We didn't talk fast enough.
But here we are. We're back the week after, and we plan to cover those, but there's so many results already that I think we're just going to forego the last few. I'm sure we'll cover them in what we're going to cover today.
Yeah, we went to go do the picks game, we normally do. But the turnaround on the sets now is so fast that they put the spoiler out, you know, like Thursday or whatever. They finished it and then released it on Monday and took away the, like, we would have to record on like Friday, Saturday, Sunday to get through the picks game. So we did not do that. We spent time with our significant others or doing other things. So, so here we are, and we're just going to, like, hit this deck dump as hard as we can and just, like, talk about cool new cards that we see that we did or did not expect to show up in places they showed up in, talk through that. But first, Corey,
sponsor,
we want to go to our fancy sponsor, Manchurters.com.
Daryl, you did such a good job with it last week. Let me give you another go at that.
Oh, God.
So, do you remember the code? Manchurters.com.
I think so. It's Card Knock Light. Oh no! Is it Card Knock Life _5YB?
What do I do?
I have no clue. I didn't do it last.
I'm putting you on the spot.
I didn't do it last.
No, you started to, and I was like, "Do you know where you're going with this?" Because that code, I have to write it. I have to read it off of the screen every time because it's kind of boisterous. It's Card Knock Life Podcast, all one word, _5YB. 5YB. The way I remember that is 5 Young Basset Hounds, which makes absolutely no sense, but.
I remember the end, but I forgot the fact that Card Knock Life Podcast was, the podcast part was on it. Card Knock Life Podcast _5YB for all your rental needs. 14% off your first 3 months. Unfortunately for you, if you start your rental with us now, you are not going to be able to get access to the new cards for 7 days. They require you to be a member for 3 months to get immediate access to the cards. So you might still have to go to bots if you're trying to get new things. But after a week, they will be available in whatever quantity they are available, and you will be able to rent them with Manchurters.com.
Boom. Stuck the landing. You know, you're going to need this because there's an awful lot of new cards that are getting played. Holy moly.
And some of them are an awful lot of expensive, depending on which ones you're talking about.
Yeah, like if it's a mythic, you know, you don't want to be buying that. There's a couple I was just scanning, and some of them are pleasantly affordable right now. There's some others that are hard to come by. I saw someone tweeted a picture of the red one drop the monkey Ragavan, and it was like $100 for a copy of the digital version of it at one point. So it's just a wild world out there.
I think it might be $100 for a paper version of Ragavan. It's going to see play in every format it's legal in, including Commander. So, like that's kind of a problem in and of itself.
Well, this is the thing that I was kind of like, you know, that was kind of the rain on the parade last week, and I don't want to go into that too much because I know I spend too much time harping on that. But
you've banged this drum into infinity and beyond, my friend.
But I think it's a good way to talk about Mana Traders, because thank God for them. Use the promo code Card Knock Life Podcast _5YB for 14% off your first 3 months. But we're going on. We're going to do all the happy stuff because today it's the honeymoon phase, baby. This is where we get to see all the cool decks that people are playing as they experiment with the new cards. Now, the format has not settled yet whatsoever. So we've got 114 deck lists. We're not going to go through all 114 of them by any means. But 114 deck lists that are just purely experimental uses of these new cards and lots of really creative and clever ways to do this. And we're seeing some trends where some cards are popping up much more than others and some where it's just like, oh boy, that's probably not going to last much longer than this weekend. But, you know, I think we're learning some things.
Corey, I was going to try and get through all 114 of these things as fast as possible.
You want to do it? Should we go for it?
I mean, we're going to try.
Yeah, Daryl, I don't think we could possibly do it. We're too passionate.
I don't know. I'm going to start driving the car, though, to get us there.
All right.
First deck, Cimoratsu, Red White Prowess. I'm not going to scroll through the entire list and name every card. That's not what I'm here for. Just going to point out some stuff. We talked about Clever Luminancer in our Strixhaven reviews. That's showing up here, as well as the new Prowess creature, or functionally Prowess creature, Dragon's Rage Channeler with Surveil and Delirium. Otherwise, this is just kind of a pretty normal looking red white prowess list with Mishra's Bauble to enable Delirium, Lurrus as a sideboard companion, and a lot of Prismatic Endings to deal with various problem permanents for Prismatic Endings in sideboard. So splashing just two colors, so it can only deal with things up to 2 CMC, but no splash duels there for the Prismatic Endings.
This is
good way.
Prismatic Ending, does that deal with Chalice on one?
It does. Okay. So Prismatic Ending is X and white sorcery with Converge. This is one of the cards we need to talk about. Exile target non-land permanent if its mana value is less than or equal to the number of colors of mana spent on this card. So you can get up to 2, that'll kill Chalice, but you can make X whatever you want. So you can spend 1 color up to 2, kill Chalice on 1. It also will answer Core Firewalker and Oriok Champion if you spend red-white on it. It's 2 colors spent, exiles Oriok Champion or Core Firewalker. So it's like functionally their path to exile, and you're saying, I'm going to avoid trying to fight against the 3-3 prized amalgam as far as exiling things goes. So.
You could pay 1 mana without paying anything for X, right? Is that what you're saying? To destroy
a
Chalice?
Not to be... No, because Chalice would counter because it'd be a 1-mana spell.
Oh, right. Got it.
The X allows it to beat Chalice.
Okay.
It doesn't matter how many colors. As long as you spend a color, you beat Chalice.
Yeah, I didn't consider that. Yeah, this deck otherwise just completely gets hosed by Chalice on 1. Almost every card in the deck costs 1, except for Mishra's Bauble, and that just draws you more 1-drops.
And Manamorphose. Manamorphose is a 2-mana spell that draws you more 1-drops.
All right, real quick, Clever Luminancer, sweet card. I always end up drafting this and fail miserably with it in limited. It's terrible in limited, but it's a very, very powerful constructed card, and I can see this being awesome. The one that is new from Horizons 2, Dragon's Rage Channeler, it's really not prowess at all, but it is a very undercosted aggressive creature that benefits from having a lot of non-creatures and creatures alike in the graveyard, which this deck does very easily with Baubles and Bolts and Manamorphose, Mutagenic Growth, etc. This guy has, whenever you cast a non-creature spell, Surveil 1, which is sick nasty for a deck that is going to be like dying to its own flood later on in the game. And then Delirium, as long as there are 4 or more cards, card types in your graveyard, it gets +2/+2, has flying, and attacks each combat at Fable. This card is like the second coming of Delver, is it not?
Basically, yeah. This is Red Delver. Like, the only problem is getting a Mishra's Bauble in your graveyard, because as far as card types go, you have very few sorceries, but you have a lot of creatures, lands, and instants, so it's easy to get creature land instant. You just have to find sorcery or artifact. If you find a Bauble or one of the random sorceries, then you're going to turn this on pretty easily with its Surveil ability. It's just the quantity of those different cards is so low that it's hard to get through. But other than that, nothing really surprising in this deck as far as like what you would expect out of a red-white prowess deck with this new card. Just the newer cards being the Dragon Rage Channeler and Prismatic Ending.
Real quick, cool thing with Dragon Rage Channeler, it does have 1 Reckless Charge in the deck, so that is a card with flashback. So you can get some extra value out of that if you, if you're tossing that in the graveyard with the Surveil. You can also flashback Lava Dart, which is a non-zero because that'll get the little chumps out of the way for, you know, for that damage. So there you have it. Cool deck. I think this one's going to be a mainstay. This is the new look for mono red prowess, likely.
Yeah, I think that prowess will be R and X. Sometimes it'll be white. Some might play, or it might just be mono red, or you could see red blue with the new, the dragon we talked about. I can't remember the name of it. That's like the Delve guy.
There's also the black discard versions too, which look a little different.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Lots of different ways to cross. Second deck, Mist Teachings. This is Hardened Scales. So as far as new cards go, Zabaz the Glimmer Wasp with the modular creature, with the, if a modular ability would trigger to put counters on a creature, you add that many plus one that can destroy your artifacts, or it can gain flying itself. Other than that, no.
Yeah. Power Depot.
No real new cards. Power Depot?
That's a land. Enters tapped, taps for colorless, and can add one mana of any color to spend on artifacts, but it also has modular one.
So it's an artifact land, so that's the key. So you can sacrifice it to your hanger or to your Arcbound Ravager, or you can kill it with your Zabaz to trigger modular. Mm-hmm. So Power Depot and Zabaz are your two new cards, and then Hardened Scales plus Zabaz kind of doubling down on all of these nice little counters, matter synergies.
And Urza's Saga also is in there, but it falls under the other category because it's like, I don't know why.
Oh, because it's an enchantment land? Yeah, that's weird. So. And it doesn't even, you can't even highlight it to like look at the card. And for Urza's Saga, because as far as 0 and 1 goes, you just have so many, you have Arcbound Worker and Zabaz at 0 or at 1, along with the Ozolith, which is another kind of counters matter synergy there.
Yeah.
But those, you know, and then you have Welding Jar to shoot her up. And then you can get your side more bullets like your Grafdigger's Cage, your Pithing Needle, your Tormod's Crypt with your Urza's Saga, and as well as just make constructs. So kind of expect to see Urza's Saga here. Lots of lands. This is a 25 land deck with Urza's Saga in it.
Yeah.
But
those are not really lands though.
Yeah. A lot of things that aren't lands. You're right. Five Nexuses. And then a Pendlehaven kind of functioning as non-land lands. Mm-hmm. But this is like a way that counters matter can kind of tumble out of control really quick. You know, instead of having to play the really bad, the snake, which isn't, it's not a bad card, but it's two mana and it's not an artifact and requires black. You're just pretty streamlined here with Zabaz, allowing you to be able to like leverage red to like kill your artifacts and trigger a bunch of different types of either modular or just like killing your Hangerback Walker and making flyers at end of turn if you need to do that.
Yep.
Just a lot of nice things going on here for this deck. Zabaz, a nice pickup along with Power Depot.
Okay, real quick, because we didn't get to the Zabaz in our talk last week. Zabaz is one of the cards that just stood out to me as like one of the biggest modern inclusions. I'd probably put that on my list in like top five modern impactors from this set. I mean, like, just straight up, like, a 1-1 flyer with modular, which is basically what it is. It can get flying because you've got the Power Depot to provide white, and then there's lots of other ways to get access to white in artifact decks, too. This deck doesn't have a ton of them, but in general. It's really good. But then having the Winding Constrictor effect on a card that just fits so perfectly into this deck already, it's nuts. The destroy target artifact you control is actually very powerful. You wouldn't think it is, but when it comes to like your opponent like Path to Exiling one of your like Walking Ballistas or hangerback walkers, I'm sorry, or any of the other modular creatures, you're gonna want access to that like ability to just sack one of your dudes effectively rather than have them go to exile so you can get the modular counters to stick around.
That is kind of the whole deal for Zabaz, because it doesn't do the enter the battlefield double counter. It just says when you modular. So the key there is being able to trigger your modulars whenever you want is very important. Also worth noting, if you double down on Zabaz, you get the static ability twice. So you sacrifice one of them, and you get two extra counters to modular wherever you want to put them.
Gotcha.
So that's worth noting as the legendary clause there. Pretty cool there. I'm going to keep on rolling.
Yep. Next deck is just a quick one. There's nothing new in here, but it's a blue-red prowess deck. I'm surprised they resisted the temptation to put the new Gurmag Angler with flying in it. Honestly, I would have a hard time doing that. Maybe I just didn't have it.
Yeah, I mean, that's very possible. I'm also surprised there are no suspends here as a nice removal spell for Tarmogoyf or something similar, or a tempo card, because realistically, that's a card I would expect to see in these sort of blue-red prowess decks is this suspend as a tempo card to just remove your opponent's thing, because you're probably going to kill them before it comes back. So.
Yeah, Expressive Iteration, though, that card is a multi-format all-star.
Expressive Iteration? Yeah, Expressive that card iteration, is yeah. very good. Yeah, we didn't. We weren't sure. We talked about it potentially being good, but it just turns out that it's cheap enough that like you can get like a land off of it on turn three, and then like put a bad card to the bottom and add a good card to your hand, and just get you like an easy 2-for-1.
Mm-hmm. All right, so. Going on then. Charging Badger. Charging Badger. That's what it says. It's Elementals.
Oh God. Yeah, Elementals. Nothing really new here as far as. Cards in the deck are concerned.
Yep.
Cool except deck. For Foundation Breaker. Except for Foundation Breaker, which is just a nice little sideboard piece to destroy an artifact or enchantment with Evoke. So you're not really recurring it unless you pump your Thunderkin, whatever his name is called. You're not reviving it unless you put a 1/1 counter on your Thunderkin Awakener because it has 2 toughness. So.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll ping. Okay.
Oh, Thunderkin Awakener.
Alpinico.
Oh,
yeah.
Go on. Sorry.
Alpinico is next with, looks like, this is that tribal zoo that we were talking about that could see play. So 1 red and 6, kind of just for your, to cycle your triomes or get your fetch lands to fix your mana. But really, here we go. We got 4 General Ferris Roadcrick, which is hexproof from monocolored, 1 red, white. Whenever you cast a multicolored spell, you get a 4/4 red and white golem creature token. And every spell in this deck, except for Tribal Flames, is both colored and Scion of Draco. So there's that. Scion of Draco, another new card. Domain, it costs 2 less to cast for each basic land type you control, among those you control. It's a 12 CMC card, so it gets down to 2 if you have all the types. And then if each creature you control has vigilance, if it's white, Hexproof if it's blue, Lifelink if it's black, First Strike if it's red, and Trample if it's green. So all of your kind of red creatures inherently get First Strike. And then depending on their different colors, like Territorial Kabu has Trample, Shardless Agent has Trample and Hexproof. Mantis Rider, which is a card in this deck, has Vigilance, First Strike, and Hexproof. What's green or what's blue? Hexproof. Oh God, that's miserable.
Yeah,
Hexproof. Jesus. Nice. Yeah. That's miserable. Mm-hmm. And then 4 Tribal Flames. Lots of cursed totems in the sideboard here. I'm not so sure what the cursed totems were in there to prevent or to try and stop, but they thought that
Heliod combo.
You're right. Heliod combo. If that's the deck you just can't beat, like, load up on Cursed Totem. That's a very good answer to it.
Yeah, that's the one, I'm sure. This deck looks like a lot of fun. Scion of Draco is very good. That card appears, like, initially, like, 12 mana. Like, what the hell is that? And then the more you think about it, like, in a deck like this, like, yeah, you're getting this out for 2 pretty consistently on turn 3.
You could do it on turn 2, really, if you fetch a Triome turn 1. Like, the deck is built so you don't really have a turn 1 play.
Yeah,
and so you just fetch a Triome. There's 2 Triomes. You fetch Triome on 1, and then you just fetch, like, the missing land types on 2. Jesus. And you have turn 2 Scion of Draco, or, you know, you can turn 2 Territorial Kabu as a 5/5. Yeah, this deck looks fast.
All right, let me just pull up TCG Player real quick while we're talking.
Yeah, see how much Scion of Draco is?
Yeah, don't make me cry.
That's good. It's a good thing because Charlie QDS next deck, same exact concept.
$18. Oh my God. All right,
that's
no,
not
thank
terrible.
You.
That's not terrible, though.
Terrible.
Charlie QDS, same exact concept here, except he's going a little bigger with Tarmogoyf and Knight of the Reliquaries, you know, more your speed. A couple Snapcaster Rages, but the same Scion of Draco, Territorial Kabu, Tribal Flames. Sort of deal going on here. Triomes, Ren and 6. So,
man,
pretty cool.
Modern is just so appealing right now. I gotta stop thinking about this.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna observe.
for next thing, we've already got you.
Yeah, Wild Mikado's my boy right there. Okay, go on. Pythias?
Pythias, Blu-ray Breach, nothing really new or fancy here. Make sure I'm not talking out of turn. Yeah, nothing new or fancy here.
How do you resist? No counterspell, huh?
Yeah, zero counterspell. It's because it's Breach. You want to remand because you have a combo kill with Emrakul.
Yeah, Mana Leak.
So you just want... maybe it's just because Mana Leak is easier to... I mean, you have one Mana Leak. You could play one counterspell, I guess, but...
Yeah. I mean, at least I had to test it out, am I right? You're already playing three Archmage's Charms in three Cryptic Command. Maybe that's the problem, is, like, when you have those cards that are so heavy on the blue pips, like, you can just kind of, like, you can double spell and then have that...
Every single one of your lands makes blue.
Does it? Oh, well, then there's no excuse.
Yeah, there's no excuse.
I mean, Riverglade Pathway could come in as a mountain. It's unlikely that...
Yes, there it is. You did it. You solved the puzzle.
I'm just saying that... Yeah.
Pretty rough. Irakuka. We got Merfolk. We got blue-green Merfolk.
Yeah.
We got the new Sylvoon of Sea and Sky. And we got some counter spells.
We didn't even talk about this one. The Civilian of Sea and Sky. One blue for a 3/4 legendary creature Merfolk God. It has indestructible as long as you control at least two other Merfolk, which you probably will in a Merfolk deck. When it attacks, you draw a card. Other Merfolk you control have ward, one generic mana, which is, if they're targeted by a spell, it's countered unless they pay one.
Yeah, really good.
There's an awful lot of cards that do that type of thing. Like, there's the Kamena. Is it Kamena? Whatever the one is that, like, basically gives them ward 2. And then the Merfolk decks have also played the Spirit guy, the Glass Spinner. And so now it's like, is this the one?
They're not playing. Yeah, I think this is the one just because it's a Merfolk God that you're going to want to play.
Yeah, draw a card.
Plus, it doesn't die to Lightning Bolt, which is also very important.
Well, it's got indestructible. It doesn't die to anything but Path.
Well, I mean, it does die to things when you don't have two other Merfolk.
Now, if they Wrath and you've got this in play, does it stick around or is it gone with them?
Yes. State-based effects will check.
Okay.
As indestructible when the Wrath resolves. Yep.
All right, cool.
So it'll live.
And then there's also a Tide Shaper in here, which is a 1-mana 1/1 Merfolk that you can also pay the kicker to just do the what's the card that's to play?
Seas.
Spreading Seas. Yeah, you can just Spreading Seas them. It's kind of cool. I mean, it's kind of like this card is just built specifically for the modern Merfolk.
It's actually a 2-mana 2/2 because it gets +1/+1 if they have an island.
Right, it's even better. Yeah. Or a 1-mana 2/2 because everyone plays islands in modern, right?
Soon, maybe.
Yeah, and then this player has counterspell in the deck 4 of. So,
yeah,
there you have it.
Hyper with multicolor zoo. More general Ferris Roadkrick, the guy that makes 4/4s. Four Ignoble Hierarch, four Noble Hierarchs, some Niv-Mizzet Reborn's top of the curve, four Shardless Agent.
Niv-Mizzet.
This is just like Niv-Mizzet Zoo. It's actually like, realistically, the deck is just general Ferris Zoo because it's like all multicolored cards except for the Hierarchs and then general Ferris, which, I mean, it's hard to kill this guy. Like, you have to have a multicolored spell to kill him. Like, Fatal Push, Path of Exile don't do it. So, like, yeah, this guy's really good.
That's a lot sideboard of dorks.
There's a lot of dorks. Sideboard, we have some of our elemental friends for the first time in Endurance and Solitude. And then we have a Grist from the new set as well. So,
wow, this is an awful lot of new cards.
Yeah, well, those cards are for Elad Marie's Call. If you're playing two of them, you can Elad Marie's Call for Grist or Endurance or Solitude.
Yeah. Wow, that's cool.
Yep. Yeah.
And then Niv is interested in the two colors on the spell. So every single card, except for the dorks, are
except
targets.
For hierarchs.
Yeah, except for the dorks. All right, cool.
so good.
How do you come in here and play Burn after all this stuff? Show, I guess you're trying to take advantage of people. Is that what's going on?
You just want to kill everyone else. Yeah.
Oh god. Some people just want to watch the world burn. We can keep moving. Nice text, Burn.
Moving on. Cave Dan, here we go.
Okay, hang on. Real quick, put the brakes on for a second. This Burn player is not playing the card that's like 2 mana, 4 damage to both players. So that's notable.
Yeah, Flame Rift. I assumed it was in there, but that's impressive that he decided that Flame Rift was not good enough.
Yeah, not in there. Okay, all right, going on. Cave Dan, Vengevine deck.
Cave Dan has more Vengevines. Yeah, so 4 Asmor, 4 Underworld Cookbook. This is Hollow One Vengevine stuff. That's really all there is to say.
Yeah, Asmor is the dude with the ridiculously long name. As long as you discarded a card this turn, you can play pay a hybrid black or red mana to cast this spell. It's a 3/3. When it enters the battlefield, you search your library for the Underworld Cookbook, which we'll read in a second. Reveal it and put it in your hand and shuffle your library. You can sacrifice 2 foods and target creature deals 6 damage to itself. The Underworld Cookbook is a one mana artifact. Go ahead, Daryl.
1 mana artifact, tap, discard a card, create a food. Tap, pay 4, sacrifice it, return target creature from your graveyard to your hand. So there's that. And we've got 4 Tideshaper in the sideboard for anti-Tron tech, I guess. It's a creature that you can cast that is against Tron. I literally, that's the only guess I have.
I mean, that card's really good.
I just, that's the only thing I can think of. And then also 2 Fury, which is the new Pyrokinesis Elemental. So, yeah. As far as new cards. I expected to see some sort of Asmor deck. I kind of was thinking of like a food deck with the Cauldron Familiar, Witch's Oven sort of deal. But this is also not a surprise here. You know, the Hollow One is based on discard. Blazing Root Walla is a free creature to trigger to get back your Vengevines. Asmor and the Underworld Cookbook are kind of like, Asmor gets the Underworld Cookbook, which enables more Asmor and enables Hollow One. And then like the Burning Inquiry stuff enables Asmor. So there's a lot of stuff going on here that's it's very good.
All right, this next deck, Hybrid 7, is a Stoneforge Mystic Nettlecyst deck. Nettlecyst is the 3-mana artifact equipment that has Living Weapon. Equipped creature gets +1/+1 for each artifact and or enchantment you control. The deck has a shit ton of the artifact lands that comes into play tapped dual lands that are indestructible. And it also has Etched Champion. So Etched Champion is almost always protection from all colors. And you can pretty consistently get the Nettlecyst into play, put it on your Etch Champion, and then just nug your opponent for 10 twice. The end. Boring, but effective.
So it's kind of, it's almost like Boggles. It's almost like Artifact Boggles. What is Rise and Shine? I don't actually know what that card does.
I was wondering. I feel like
it's probably.
Here, let me look. Rise and Shine. There's only one of Rise and Shine. Target, it's 1 in a blue. Target non-creature artifact you control becomes a 0/0 artifact creature. Put 4+1/+1 counters on each artifact that became a creature this way. And it has overload.
Oh, it's scissors. You overload it and all your lands turn into 4/4s.
Indestructibles, yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah. That's so smart. Oh my god. That's actually a very nice kind of secondary plan here. But yeah, this is actually really cool. I don't think this is dumb at all. This is a very inventive use of these artifact lands.
It's a cool,
I didn't think that.
Cool design, but when you're playing it, it's just gotta feel like you're just following this same formula. Yeah, it's not very interactive.
Yeah, you have no clue what's going on until you do, and then you're like, oh no, I know what's going on, and I'm dead.
Yeah, either have it or you don't. All right, the next deck is a black red Hollow One, or not Hollow One. I'm sorry, Death Shadow deck. Nothing new here. Scourge of the Skyclaves, Death Shadow, Dreadhorde Arcanist, Kroxa type of thing. So we can move on. There's nothing from Horizons 2.
Yabo Suicide here. 5-0 with Aspertold. Teamer Aspertold. Looks like we got some Brazen Bars. We got some new Shardless Agents. We got some new Inevitable Trails, which is the Bribery. Yeah. And we got 4 Fire Eyes. So Fire Ice give you an interactive spell with early creatures or with your opponent's lands early that you could cascade through because it's CMC is 4.
Oh, that's clever. Okay.
Yeah. So, nice little cantrip, kind of time walk there.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what we got going on here. Nice as foretold design.
Yeah. These decks are getting more and more tools. They're starting to look more legit. All right.
Here's the deck I was thinking of. Straight up ramp, but he ain't ramping. So this is Asmore Food. That's all I can describe it as.
Yeah, what
so
ramp? Four
Urza Saga. That's his name.
Oh, that's the guy, the player's name. I was like, yeah, this is first not a ramp name, deck.
Ramp. Yeah. Person's name is Ramp, but they ain't ramping. So Urza Saga, Asmore, Overchase, Daredevil, that's not a new symbol. But Asmore, and then the Underworld Cookbook and Yavimaya Cradle of Growth are the new cards. But what he's got going on here, what he or she's got going on here is a food deck. So you're playing Life from the Loam, Witch's Oven, Cat, Witch's Oven plus Cat to like do incremental damage. And then your Stitcher Supplier to mill yourself. And whatever, and then Overchase Daredevil and Feasting Troll King as your like recursive elements. So Feasting Troll King is 2 green for a 7/6 Vigilance Trample. When it enters the battlefield, if you cast it, create 3 food, sacrifice 3 food, return it from the graveyard to the battlefield, play this ability only during your turn. So you have a bunch of different food producers with the Underworld Cookbook and Witch's Oven, Cat, and Gilded Goose.
Daredevil is involved too. 3 and a black for a 4/2 uncommon human pilot. Whenever an artifact enters the battlefield under your control, you may return Oval Chase Daredevil from your graveyard to your hand.
Oh, it's the thing you discard to the cookbook.
Right, yeah. So you can just keep looping it for food.
I see it. This food is what you discard days. To the cookbook. This is what you discard to the cookbook to get food. And so as you dread yourself or draw more cards, you get more of these Feasting Troll Kings and more use Urza Saga to get more cookbooks. So you use Urza Saga plus Loam to make sure you have all your cookbooks and ovens. Oh my god, this is a nice little deck.
I can't wait to see what goofy ass like cooking show punny name they come up with for this deck when it finally gets one, because Underworld Cookbook and Witch's Oven to be the basis of this deck, there's got to be something there, right? And like all this food.
There's someone's gonna fire off some pun and I'm ready for it.
Yeah,
all right, Jiggy Wiggy next with lots of colors.
Yeah, this
and cookbooks and
I don't even want to do this one. Jiggy Wiggy is playing Urza, Lord High Artificer, Thought Monitor, which is, we didn't get to the affinity cards because like I said, there's so many damn cards in that are playable in this set that we didn't get through all of them last week. Thought Monitor is affinity for artifacts, 6 and a blue for a 2/2 flying. When enters the battlefield, draw 2 cards. So just a card that like artifact players are like, oh yeah, sure, that belongs in my deck, no thought. Right. Lonus Cryptozoologist. This guy's interesting. Green and a blue for a 1/2 Snake Elf Scout. When another non-token creature enters the battlefield under your control, investigate. Oh, the artifacts. Okay. Tap, sacrifice X clues. Target opponent reveals the top X cards of their library. You may put a non-land permanent card with mana value, X or less, from among them onto the battlefield under your control. That player puts the rest on the bottom of the library in a random order.
Let me stop you and get to what's actually happening here.
Yeah.
Which is Academy Manufacturer.
And that,
it's
yeah.
3 mana, 1/3 Assembly Worker. If you would create a clue, a food, or a treasure, create one of each instead. So the deck is literally playing 4 Gingerbread Cabin, which is the green land in the Mystic Sanctuary cycle that when it enters the battlefield untapped, you make a food. So your fetch lands can make you a food, a clue, and a treasure. Those things can power Urza. So if you can make 2 tokens at once, you can get, like if you have an engine that makes 2 tokens, you get 6 mana, which gets you an Urza spin. And so, like, between things entering the battlefield with Lonus giving you a clue, food and treasure, Gingerbread Cabin being able to do so. Clues are kind of the most simple thing. So you can, like, if you had, so the only thing that kind of this person left out was the ability to sacrifice their lands to bring back Gingerbread Cabin with Red and Six and continue to make clues, or to make foods, to make a clue of food and treasure. But it is even playing two Storm the Vault, which whenever your creatures deal combat damage, they make a treasure. And then it turns over into, like,
Tolarian Academy, yeah. No big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot going on here with Urza Lord High Artificer just generating a giant pile of clues.
Yeah, this one's nuts. This looks like it's something that could be for real. And it makes me nervous.
I think we're finally going to ban Urza. I think we did it, boys.
But this is a little slow compared to the other decks that we're seeing, honestly. But maybe it doesn't matter because it's just so explosive. I guess it does have Mox Amber, so that helps push it along a little bit.
And a lot of legends. You know, you have four Emery, four Lonus, and Lonus is a two drop. And Emery costs one. There's a Ren and Six also is a two drop legend, so.
Yeah, the Thought Monitor is just like the fuel that keeps this fire burning too. I can't believe that card just fits so well into this strategy. It's crazy. It's like, how many cards do you have left in your hand? Okay, good. It's just one. I'm good for a while.
Nope. All right.
Watch what I can do.
I'm excited to keep the train rolling here.
All right, I think we're gonna get like halfway through this, Daryl. All right, man. The next one. Tell us about it.
We got a 63 card deck.
Yeah, what's like that all about?
Four color Shardless Bug. They just wanted to play them. I guess playing four Abundant Harvest. You have like the ability to churn through your deck. But this is a lot of Shardless Agent, a lot of Abundant Harvest. And then this is just like fair four color mid range stuff like Shark Typhoon, Jace, Tarmogoyf, Abrupt Decay, a Rise Fall, a couple Kolaghan's Command, some Assassin's Trophy, some Drown the Locks. Just really fair four color stuff.
Yeah.
Just interesting that the deck's basically glued together by Shardless Agent and Abundant Harvest.
Did we, speaking of deck size, did we mention that the last one was an 80 card Yorian deck? We didn't, I don't think.
Oh no, I didn't even notice that. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, Yorian. So Yorian plus Thought Monitor plus Urza's Lord High, or Urza, excuse me.
Oh my god.
There's a lot of reasons you'd want to be flashing bouncing your stuff. Blinking. That's the word I'm looking for. Thank you. All right.
Good God.
Anyways, going on. Zumi-kun, 1985-0204. Congratulations. You have succeeded in placing with your very bland blue and white Stoneforge Mystic deck. There's one new inclusion here. Cauldra complete. How do you say that word?
Complete. People are just saying complete.
All right.
But hey, man, don't knock the counter spells. There's four counter spells in there, man.
All right. So the Mana Leak 7 upgraded to counter spells. So there's that. And then there's the Cauldra complete. It's 7 mana living weapon, indestructible, which these guys are like best friends with Stoneforge Mystic. If you're not looking at these as a Stoneforge Mystic player and thinking, oh, I get free creatures now? Okay, cool. Yeah, more of those? Sweet. We already had Batterskull, right? So now we get this guy. Equipped creature gets +5/+5 and has first strike, trample, indestructible, haste, and whenever this creature deals combat damage to a creature, exile that creature.
It's literally all three pieces of Helm, Sword, Shield, Cauldra.
Yeah,
it's literally all of them stapled together. So one, I think Dark Shield of Cauldra is indestructible, so it makes the whole thing indestructible. So this is actually a better offensive tool for Stoneforge Mystic, whereas Batterskull is a better defensive tool because this has haste. So you can chew this up, and if they can't kill your Stoneforge, you're just attacking them for five on turn three.
Cool. Original.
Like, not. Yeah. Very original in a Stoneforge deck. Being sort of the aggressive plan that you can have against control in various like combo decks. Very original. This is sweet. I expect to see lots of Cauldra completes with Stoneforge Mystic over the course of time here.
It's just like, I don't know. It's like one of those things where like when you can find it and then just put it into play, the most expensive one is going to be the no-brainer, isn't it? The most one that is a living weapon, it's a creature. It is. It's really good. So
this is good. I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying if it's good, that's.
Now, the downside is this, is if your opponent kills the Stoneforge Mystic in between the find it and put it into play portion, then you're stuck with a 7-drop in your hand, and you're going to have to try and cast that at some point. But the upside is the way that you deal with that is you play this blue and white control deck that can eventually find 7 mana by just countering their spells and removing their creatures and doing control things.
Correct. Very surprised not to see any Solitude in this deck. Probably just not enough white cards. But Solitude would be a good addition to a deck like this. Just a flash shorts the plushers that can carry a weapon.
Yeah.
Going on, Hemsley, 5-0. This is a blue-black reanimator strategy. So 4 Unmarked Grave, 4 Persist, 2 Archon of Cruelty. Sort of just a blue-black control deck other than that. But just trying to do that reanimator thing. And then 4 Break the Ice in the sideboard, as well as just some various sideboard bullets of, like, creatures to reanimate. So you can go the distance against various different mill decks or control decks. You have an Emrakul on your sideboard, Sarah's Emissary, a new card that you can reanimate to give your creatures protection from a card type. Can this actually cast the Emrakul? 1, 2, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. If you get all your lands into play, you can actually cast the Emrakul against control decks. So there's that.
From the sideboard. So Archon of Cruelty is the main deck target, and we better read that card because I don't think we talked about it. 6 black.
I don't think we did either.
6 black for a 6/6 flying Archon. When it enters the battlefield or attacks, target opponent sacrifices a creature or planeswalker, discards a card, and loses 3 life. You draw a card and gain 3 life.
It's like Uro plus Kroxa.
Yeah. And it with Persist, it's like you don't really care that it's a 5/5 flyer because it's happening so early. It's like, what are they going to play? What are they going to do? So you'll get some major value out of this thing. What's that?
Happening at turn three at the earliest.
Yeah, it's you're basically getting like a cruel ultimatum by the time you attack with it, aren't you?
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, and some with like it's 2 sacrifices and 2 draw. Yeah. You know? So, anyways, good card.
Next deck Storm, who cares?
Oh, sideboard Break the Ice. Did you already say that? I'm sorry, I was zoning out for a second.
Yes,
okay.
I did.
Yeah, that's good. Okay. Next deck is Storm. Is there nothing in it that's new?
Literally nothing new.
Wow, how did they
nobody cares.
And is this one is playing Remand. Okay, so there's no counterspell, and that's not surprising. I think Remand is more appropriate for Storm. Okay, alright, going on.
Yorion, Niv-Mizzet, nothing new.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's hard to believe. This may just be an outdated deck because there's so much new stuff that belongs in here.
It's very likely.
So, okay, yeah, we'll carry on. Electric Bob.
Electric Bob is playing Cats.
Collected Company Cats Zoo.
There are no new cards in Collected Company Cats Zoo. There are 4 Lurrus in the main deck of Collected Company Cats Zoo, however.
It's a cat.
But.
Oh my god! And none of them in the sideboard because it's got a Collected Company in the main deck. So you can't have a companion Lurrus.
No, you can't have a companion Lurrus because it's just permanence.
Oh well, it's companions Kahira, so, I think.
Yeah, it's companions Kahira because Lurrus is an elemental, and so you can have it as an elemental. But King of the Pride that gives your cats +2/+1 is why you can't play Lurrus. That and Realmwalker. Yeah.
You know what cracks me up is the Collected Company. The art that appears is the picture of the cats too. So it's all thematically fitting.
Yeah. Next deck is exactly kind of what I expected to see here, except missing a card that I expected to see in it, which was Brainstone, which is blue. This is Blue Eye Miracles. I certainly thought there'd be 4 Brainstones in this deck, but there are not.
Yeah, there's not even Counterspell in this deck, so I don't think this one has been updated either.
Out of date, yeah.
I'm surprised that we haven't seen a shit ton of Counterspell, to be honest with you.
Yeah, here's another out-of-date deck. That's like white taxes.
No. This one has Solitude.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Okay, I just didn't see a call. No Cauldron Completes. That's why I always thought it was out of date. This is just white taxes with four Solitude. They cut six lands, basically, that were from the deck already. They're playing two Skyclave Cleric and four Emiria's Call to play six extra lands in their Yorion Blink deck. So they got 33 total lands, but...
It is possible that people just can't get Cauldron Completes because they're, like, sold out in a lot of places, too. So, yeah, I think that's... Okay. I mean, that's probably true for a lot of things. Like, a lot of those Mythics are hard to come by.
Okay, fair enough.
This deck is pretty similar to what we talked about expecting to see with, like, the taxes decks. And I think that's... It's unsurprising that these evoke creatures are showing up so often.
Yeah. Sexfire Invex on the sideboard here, but yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of moving on. Prashi with Thassa's Oracle, playing Profane Tutor to set up Phyrexian Unlife ad nauseum Thassa's Oracle nonsense.
Yeah. That's enough talk about this one. Let's go on.
Yeah. I don't think there's much to say. I agree. Much more than interested in saying.
Daryl, this next one's for you, though.
Okay. Collected Company, Ephemerate, lots of colors, Grist.
It's everything but blue.
There is no Soul Herders, unfortunately. A little disappointed in that. But I can always get behind a deck with Ephemerate plus Eternal Witness and Collected Company. So really what this deck is trying to do is leverage the power of Imperial Recruiter and Grist.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of as its kind of pivot points. So Imperial Recruiter, new card, obviously it's modern, but can tutor for any two power or less creature. Everything but two Flicker Wisps in the deck has two power or less. No pitch creatures, surprisingly. I would expect it to see some pitch creatures in here with four Ephemerates. I would expect to see Solitude or Grief. Probably Solitude would be my expectation. Just kind of looking at all the white cards in here.
Yeah, not even on the sideboard.
Yeah, no. But kind of leveraging Collect Company as its power card, because you can company into Recruiter, you can company into Grist, you can tutor up Grist with Recruiter if it's a 1/1 insect while it's in your deck, you can vial Grist in. So a lot of kind of leveraging the power of Grist here. And then a ton of sideboard, two power or less, one ofs. New cards, Sanctum Prelate, and Sanctifier Envex, but 15 one of, three CMC or less if they can handle it, but two power or less creatures to tutor up with Recruiter, Imperial Recruiter. So.
Like Toski. Toski is a one creature that can be targeted. But one of the weird ones here is Devout Lightcaster. That's one I always look at for my sideboards. This is a card from original Zendikar, but it's strange to see this white costed creature in a four color deck. It's a very good card, but I always end up like finding something that can do it better.
Well, it's a base white deck, basically.
Yeah.
It's base white splashing all three other colors. Because you're playing Knight of the White Orchid to search up your planes. If you get behind the lands, you're playing four Skyclaves. So it's really trying to be a base white deck, which I guess makes it make sense. But yeah,
that card, by the way, pro black, enters the battlefield, exile target black permanent. So in case you're in for 2/2. All right, I'm going to do the next one because this has got my boy in it. And actually, this is the deck that I would probably put together with an unlimited budget for this kind of thing. This is The Only Fish. This is a black-white deck. It's a black-white Stoneforge Mystic Cauldron Complete deck, of course. It's got the Sword of Fire and Ice, Light and Shadow, and Batterskull in it. It's got a pretty big artifact package, actually. It's got a Dothy Voidwalker, which is the 3/2 shadow that rests in peace as your opponent, and then, you know, can just, like, if it wants to, start casting the cards that it got rid of. Yeah, whatever. Also, Esper Sentinel, 1 mana for 1/1. This is one we did not really talk about, but is very powerful and a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, whenever an opponent casts their first non-creature spell each turn, draw a card unless that player pays X, where X is Esper Sentinel's power. It's like...
You put a sword on it, it gets better. It's Rhystic Study.
Yeah, Rhystic Study. Yeah, it's Rhystic Study on a body. Yeah, put a sword on it and then really tax them.
It's really closer to Mystic Remora because it's only not Mystic Remora is only non-creatures. Rhystic Study is all spells. So
sure,
closer to Mystic Remora as far as like function.
Yeah.
But you put a sword on this thing and your opponent's not paying three to be able to cast a non-creature spell without giving you a card.
This one's got the Grief Ephemerate combination in it, but it also uses Ephemerate for Geralf's Messenger. It's got four Geralf's Messenger in it. It's also good with Stoneforge Mystic, which is why you're playing so many artifact targets for it, because you could get some extra value by finding those extra copies. It's got a discard package of three Inquisitions and three Thoughtseize, and then, of course, four Fatal Push, and then a bunch of black and white lands, including some Silent Clearings. In the sideboard, Damn! Is in the sideboard. That's a very good card.
Yeah, it is.
Vindicate also made its way. That's also a new card. I forget about that because it's a new old card. And Manriki Gusari, which can is an equipment that has tap. Equipped creature has tap, destroy target equipment. So it can destroy other Cauldron Completes. No, that's indestructible.
No.
What can it do?
Indestructible. I don't. Not quite sure why this Manriki Gusari is in this person's sideboard, but I think they thought it was a brilliant out to Cauldron Complete, and then they probably played it the first time and was like, oh, this doesn't kill Cauldron Complete. I guess I don't want it anymore.
What the hell is it doing then?
I guess they just expected so much Stoneforge Mystic that like having answers to opposing creatures was just, or opposing artifacts was just important.
They think they're so clever, huh?
Yeah, I mean, next deck is a Yorion deck. We're seeing more solitudes in this deck, but nothing really new other than that.
Yep.
Karn stuff with Urza's Saga.
This is another Ephemerate deck, by the way. We're seeing a lot of Ephemerate.
Give me that Ephemerate.
The Karn deck. This is like a Lantern deck almost.
Oh, it is Lantern. It's Lantern with Elixir of Immortality, which is really weird. I guess you tutor it up with your Urza Sagas.
Mm-hmm.
This is just weird.
I don't really see what's new in it.
Four Urza Saga is new.
Oh, yeah, that's a big deal for this deck, isn't it?
And Dothy Voidwalker in the sideboard, and a Void Mirror for Anti-Tron things.
Not really happy to see this one come back, but I can see why it has. Urza Saga is a big boon for this deck. That's a lot for it. It used to play the Inventor's Fair, and Urza Saga is like a huge upgrade to that card.
Yeah, massive upgrade.
All right.
So I'm gonna just scroll by decks that don't contain too much new stuff, just to get to like see if there's a new deck, and then I think we can go for a few more decks and then call it a day.
Sure. Living End is next.
Skipping that one.
Yeah.
Here's a new deck, Storytime. This is just straight up Reanimator Goblin Bombardment nonsense. So four Archon of Cruelty here, four Karmic Guide, which is new to Modern, using four Unmarked Grave and four Seasoned Pyromancer to power their reanimate shenanigans, and then four Persist to reanimate. So four Persist and four Karmic Guide is your reanimation methods for your four Archon of Cruelty.
Yeah, this deck is cute. It ain't good.
This can't be it. I don't know how this person 5-0'd with it, but it's cool.
Yeah, definitely is.
I just want to point out that Jund has adopted cutting all scavenging uses and is just playing four Dothy Voidwalker. Next deck.
Remember when I talked about that guy and I said why play anything else? He's the best. I mean,
you're not wrong.
In today's, you know, Modern, where you have access to so many non-basic lands, it's like mana cost is not really a factor. You don't really have to worry about the pips anymore. So, yeah, this guy can just straight up replace Scavenging Ooze, which is ridiculous because he's black to cast. But whatever. Yeah. Anyways, going on. Kryon Ranger in the Elf deck, I like to see that.
Also three Sylvan Anthem, which is a card that we probably wouldn't have talked about even. Green creatures you control get +1/+1, and whenever a green creature you control enters the battlefield, scry one, for green. That's a very good card. And then some Void Mirrors in the sideboard.
You know, hang on, before you do, Sylvan Anthem is a very good card, and it's a little unassuming, but in a deck that has Realm Walker, it is an exceptionally good card. It basically means that you can just go off with your elves in the way that you couldn't normally.
Genius.
Yeah.
I didn't even think of that. Okay. All right. That's pretty dope. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this I mean the deck already generates a shit ton of mana. Now it's a matter of like where do you get all the cards from? Sylvan Anthem plus Realm Walker means you could just be playing stuff off the top of your library like
forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've already talked about Dothi Voidwalker and various black white shenanigans. Here's a deck with four Vindicates, but nothing really new happening there. Well, I suppose we actually just have old school affinity.
I suppose.
Like factual, no, just actual factual deck with cards with the word affinity on them. all the new artifact lands that enabled an artifact deck with Frogmite and Mirror Enforcer to exist.
Yep. And Urza's Saga's in here.
Urza's Saga's in here. Also, Sojourner's Companion is a 7-mana artifact affinity for artifacts creature with artifact land cycling. It's another Mirror Enforcer. But interesting here, there are no Etch Champions in this deck.
Not even in the sideboard.
Nope, not even sideboard. But it is playing Cranial Plating and Nettle Cyst. So, but this is cool. This is actually really cool.
Yeah.
That's
probably a pretty cheap deck, actually. If you're looking to build something affordable, this one's not much. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. I'm going to talk about this weird-ass control deck.
All
right. And then if you want to stop here, we can stop here, because this is just weird as hell.
Yeah.
Kogamo. 5-0. 4X Moderation. Which is an enchantment that I said that someone smarter than me was going to figure it out. And this person's apparently smarter than me. So, 1 blue-white for an enchantment. You can't cast more than one spell each turn. Whenever you cast a spell, draw a card. So it keeps the good times rolling in your control deck when you cast your spells. 4 solitude in this deck as well, and it's a Yorion deck.
Yeah, 4 moderation is pretty high for what I would expect there. But I think it's probably just an experiment. I don't know.
Maybe? I don't know. Like, so I look at this deck and I go, you know, what's the reality? Like, you know, maybe you're not casting more than one spell on each player's turn. Like, maybe you're like, all right, Jace on my turn, something on yours. Supreme Verdict on my turn, probably a counterspell on yours. Like, Path on my turn, or Solitude on my turn, Path on yours. Like, it doesn't seem too horrible, but no, man, it's fucking weird.
It seems horrible. It seems terrible. I mean, if I'm playing against you and you're playing a moderation, that is like a breath of fresh air, because I'm like, all right, if this game goes long and we're going to be in a counterspell war, I know that there's a finite, you know, there's a limit to your reactions. So all I have to do is just have 2 counterspells in my hand and I can do whatever I want.
Right. So I think this is that moderation is not for that matchup. So I think that's a matchup where you just board them out. Yeah. Like, I think that moderation is more for, like, how does Jun beat a moderation?
When do they play a moderation? I don't understand when you can even cast it. Like, the game has to go so long for you to even get it out.
Yeah, I mean, you might be right. But, like, that's a plan against Jun. It's just like, all right, I'm going to play a spell and draw a card.
Well,
so I'm going to interact with you and just like interact with you on a 1/1 basis and pull ahead of you because I'm drawing extra cards.
Yeah.
Like that. But it's a legitimate plan against Jund. Like,
I'll give you this. Moderation plus solitude. There's 4 solitude in here. And there's 4 force of negation. So you could tap out on 3 and then have something to do to follow that, and then the card loss from the exile a card to do the free spell thing is just completely negated by the moderation, right? So
yeah,
getting free force of negations. So yeah, okay, all right.
And there's a world where you get 2 moderations in play because it's not legendary, and then you're like pulling ahead of them on cards.
Yeah, yeah. Huh.
I don't know. This seems real bad. Like, I look at it and I go, this looks kind of bad. But, like, I see what this person is doing. They had my interest, but now they have my attention. Yeah. Now that I've talked through it a little bit, they have my attention now. Like, that's.
All right. Well, we got to do one more because this next one's really odd, and I don't even understand it. Did you look at this? It's a snow deck. It's a Bant snow deck. Let me just read the list and see if you can figure it out. It's like I said, it's got Snowlands, so keep that in mind, all the basics and stuff. A Johnny Adversary of Tyrants, which is the one that can put a return a creature with converted mana cost 2 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. And then the other abilities are basically irrelevant. It's a 4-drop. It's got a Jace Mind Sculptor. It's got 3 Teferi Time Raveler, a Brazen Borrower, 4 Ice Fink Waddle, 4 Noble Hierarch, 3 Spell Queller, 4 Stoneforge Mystic, and then the Cauldron Complete, the Batterskull, and Sword of Fire and Ice. And then it's got 3 Toski, Bearer of Secrets. Okay. 4 Counterspell, 2 Force of Negation, and 1 Path, and 4 On Thin Ice.
Yeah.
What is going on here? So is the Toski like pair with Ice Fang Kotal to get the card draw or what?
I mean, Toski pairs with anything that attacks to get card draw. Plus, it itself gets free card draw. It can't be countered and it's indestructible. Like, it's next to impossible to remove. It's next to impossible to remove and it gives you card draw. So, like,
but you're
between Ice Fang Kotal. Like, it's just like a Bant. It's just like a Bant Stoneblade deck, basically.
Yeah, and how are you about to play these 3 4-drop legendary squirrels when you're already playing 2 planeswalkers that cost 4 mana?
I don't know, man.
And Sword of Fire and Ice, Cauldron Complete, and Batterskull. This seems really clunky.
I don't know. I don't know how this person did it, but other people were also trying to do dumb, fun things, and so they're like, my fun thing. Better than your fun things, like,
whee! Yeah, don't get me wrong, it looks like a blast to play, but it's just very, very unusual. I'm surprised to see a Johnny in there. That's kind of cool.
So, yeah, that was very surprising to see, but yeah.
Anyways, I'll leave it at that. I thought we had to at least
There's a ton more decks. I'm sure there's just, like, cards we haven't talked about that, like, are just here. Tribal Flames getting a big boost from all this stuff. Vindicate, you know, I'm sure we're seeing Imperial Recruiters floating around. Any cards you can think of that you're curious about whether or not they showed up, just kind of looking at the set spoiler.
Okay, real quick, before we wrap this up, Daryl, let me just ask you a quick question here. After looking at some 25 decks or whatever today, 30 decks, which card from Horizons 2 do you see as the biggest winner in Modern right now? Which one is the one or 2 or 3 that are just like the card that we're going to see a lot of in the coming weeks?
We're gonna see more Solitude than I expected.
Okay.
I thought Solitude was a good card, but it was kind of mediocre. It was like the third best incarnation.
Yeah.
I think we're gonna see a lot of that thing. A card that I'm surprised we're not seeing more of, and I think it's just because of the color that the card is Abundant Harvest. Like, okay. I am very surprised we're not seeing more Abundant Harvest than we currently are. Just a good enchantment or just good sorts, cheap cantrip that smooths out your draws. Feels like something I would expect to see more of.
Yeah.
As far as that goes. And then I expect that we're probably going to see some combo enabling shenanigans from our friend Imperial Recruiter. Those are kind of the 3 I've got my eye on the most.
Now, we didn't see a lot of Imperial Recruiter yet. There was some, but we didn't see a ton yet.
I started scrolling some more and you know, something I didn't see yet that I expected to see was Enchantress, and I started to see it as I continued to scroll. I'll do a search. 5 decks with Imperial Recruiter in them, so not non-zero, but I think that's probably about a correct percentage just because of, like, how difficult, like, because Imperial Recruiter is red. So if it was Recruiter of the Guard, I think we would see so many more Recruiter of the Guard decks just because of the color. In all honesty.
Yeah. For me, I think we're seeing a lot of grief. That card is going to be damn near like a $200 to $300 playset, I'm thinking, that Mythic. Seeing as it's played in 4-ups.
I don't know how many decks are in this list, but grief only shows up in 6 decks.
Oh, well, I guess we saw a lot of it in the first somebody actually looked at. There are 13 iterations of Caldra Complete, though, that I'm looking at. I did a little control F on the list. So that's an awful lot of that. And yeah, that's a one-off, so that'll help the price on that one.
Yeah, the interesting part of this, though, is, like, as we know, the algorithm does some smoothing, doesn't show you, like, 19 different grief decks. Mm-hmm. So if, 50,000 grief decks played within 10 cards of each other, we wouldn't know.
Right.
We just see six different grief decks. So kind of worth noticing, but, like, I think all the obvious ones are obvious. I was just kind of surprised at how good Solitude was. I didn't think it would be as good as it was.
There's like 11 Solitudes, I think. There's 12 decks playing Urza's Saga. Only one Zabaz deck on the whole list.
Not surprised by that. I didn't think Zabaz was going to be a big player.
Really?
But I definitely thought I thought it was going to be okay, but there's only one deck you can play in it.
Yeah. Okay.
Whereas Urza's Saga, there's a ton of different inventive ways to use Urza's Saga.
Okay. Yeah. Four Territorial Kavu, 4 Scion of Draco.
I mean, those two will probably be together realistically. Yeah.
So, all right. Cool. Well, that's a good first look. I'm excited to see what happens next week.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think we'll have some more of this kind of thing to do before we get into the real settled meta, but it's not going to be long. I mean, this stuff happens fast. So.
Yeah. Worth noting, the card that I did not know was going to show up as many times as it did, just based on its application, is Counterspell. Yeah. So it's obviously like an upgrade on Mana League, but it's kind of limited in its application most of the time.
Yeah, 22.
Because 22. Yeah, that's a lot of decks playing Counterspell. A lot of decks taking their shiny new toy out and giving it a try. Which is fine. But worth noting that that's definitely a thing. And
yeah, for me, Underworld Cookbook. I wasn't expecting too much of that, but there are 6 decks with that one in it. So that's
I expected a lot of Asmore just because it's a 1-mana 3/3 that you can also play nice with Aetherbile.
Mm-hmm.
So like when you put those two things together, to me that sounds like a lot of things to go right for a card.
All right, man. Well, I'll talk to you next time. Thanks for listening. Yep. Bye.
Modern Metacall is a production of CardKnockLife.com, where you can find a selection of MTG content, both written and recorded. Looking for deck primers? We've got them. Interested in videos? Try our CKL Play series, where we take the most interesting decks appearing in published results for a spin through MTGO leagues. We've got a team of talented writers specializing in a variety of formats and archetypes. To keep up with Card Knock Life offerings, you can follow us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/CardKnockLifePodcast. Thanks is due to ManaTraders.com, MTGCast.com, and TheDiscard.com for their support in making this possible, and thank you for listening, commenting, sharing, and reading Card Knock Life content.